"See this nickel?" he said. "You're going to be sorry you turned me down. I'm going to call the people on you." I told Pat we better stop serving Whitey. "Yes," said Pat, "but he knows where I live. We ought to find another place." Another occasional was Lonnie the pimp, who had grown up in his mother's whorehouse. Lonnie tried to space his shots so he wouldn't get a habit. He was always beefing how he couldn't clear anything now. He had to put out so much for hotel rooms, and the law kept him on the move. "See what I mean?" he said. "There's no percentage." Lonnie was pure pimp. He was skinny and nervous. He couldn't sit still, and he couldn't shut up. As he talked, he moved his thin hands, which were covered on the backs with long, greasy black hairs. You could tell by looking at him that he had a big penis. Pimps always do. Lonnie was a sharp dresser, and he drove a Buick convertible, but he wouldn't hesitate to hang us up for credit on a $2 cap. After he took the shot, he'd say, as he rolled down the sleeve of his striped silk shirt and fastened his cufflinks, "Look, boys, I'm a little short. You don't mind putting this one on the cuff, do you? You know I'm good for it." Pat would look at him with his little bloodshot eyes, a surly peasant look. "For Christ's sake, Lonnie, we have to put out for this stuff. How would you like it if people came in on you, laid your girls, and then wanted to put it on the cuff?" Pat shook his head. "You like all of them. Once they get it in the main, that's all they care. Here I have a cool place where they can come and shoot, and what consideration do I get? Once they get it in the vein, that's all they care." "Well, look, Pat, I don't want to hang you up. Now here's a dollar, and I'll bring you the rest this afternoon, okay?" Pat took the dollar and put it in his pocket without saying anything. He pursed his lips in disapproval. Seltzer Willie dropped by around 10 o'clock on his route, took a cap, and bought a cap for the night. Dupree came in around 12 when he got off work. He was on the night shift. The others came in any time they had the inclination. Bob Brandon, our connection, was out on bail. He was charged in state court with possession of junk, a felony under Louisiana law. The case against him was based on traces. That is, he got rid of the junk before the cop shook his place down, but he did not wash out the jar in which the junk had been kept. The federals will not take a traces case, so the state took it. This is regular procedure in Louisiana. Any case too shaky for the federal courts passes to the state courts, who will prosecute anything. Brandon expected to beat the case. He had good connections with the political machine, and in any event, the state had a weak case. But the DA dragged in Brandon's record, which included a murder conviction, and he drew 2 to 5 years. Pat found another connection right away, and we went on pushing. A peddler named Jonkers began selling on the corner of Exchange and Canal. Pat lost a few customers to Jonkers. Actually, Jonkers' stuff was better, and sometimes I scored from Jonkers, or Jonkers' partner, an old one-eyed character named Richter. Pat always found out somehow. He was intuitive as a possessive mother, and then he would sulk for 2 or 3 days.